Get the brand new GWM Cannon Ute from Essendon GWM Havel at 600 Mount Alexander Road. Kogan Mobile. Make the switch and save 50% off all 365-day plans this Black Friday.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
I enjoyed your dish as much as my own. 10 out of 10.
And I also scored you 10 out of 10.
It's amazing. I'm overwhelmed. I really am. It's been one of the best things I've done, one of the best experiences I've had.
Well, it's the Nadia Comaneci of Celebrity MasterChef. He got a couple of perfect tens, including one from Society Restaurant head chef Martin Benn, whose dessert, Blade Runner-inspired dessert, was what the finalists had to cook last night. And Nick Riewoldt got a couple of tens for cooking it perfectly. In fact, Martin's saying that he enjoyed eating it as much as he enjoyed eating his own. The champion, Nick Riewoldt, has been good enough to join me. Nick, congratulations on your win.
Oh, thank you, Pipe. It was, it was a difficult secret to keep, I've got to be honest. But, just an amazing experience to be able to go through that whole process. I mean, MasterChef's an icon of a show. I had the time of my life filming it. It sounds a little bit silly, I guess, in a way, like listening to that back saying, I'm overwhelmed about winning a cooking show. But when the silverware cupboard is bare, Dwayne, you take any victory you can get. And I know the meme creators have already had a little bit of fun, comparing this to an AFL grand final. Whether I won or I lost, I couldn't really win as far as those meme creators were concerned. But it was honestly just the most incredible experience. And I just had an absolute blast filming it.
Yeah, there was a bit of talk back here whether you get run down in the goal square or run down in the final, but we won't go there, Nick, because your personality came through on this. Your personality came through on this program brilliantly. It was from the moment you cooked. I think you pulled out the lobster show one and brought back a few of your old cooking skills. From day one, it looked like you had either cooked all your life or you'd prepped to win this show fairly diligently.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, I think everyone had a couple of go-tos in that initial part of the series where you sort of cook with something that you were comfortable with. And for me, I just tapped into those Tasmanian roots and went with produce that I've been really fortunate to be able to be exposed to, with crayfish and scallops and all of those sort of things on the east coast of Tassie. But from there, it became a bit of an unknown, I think, for all of us. I do feel like a bit of a fraud in one sense, because I've got people that I've known for a long, long time that have texted me over the past 24 hours and said, I've known you for 20 years and never once have you cooked for me. But I think right the way through the process, I was able to learn really quickly. I was able to adapt and be pretty coachable with anything that the judges sort of threw at us. And that I think worked in my favour. But, that competitive side, I was told in no uncertain terms by my wife and by my family, park the competitiveness, because you don't want to be that ultra competitive, idiot that goes on a cooking show and from day one said, I'm here to win. So that was something that I was pretty keen to put to the side.
So do you have a restaurant coming when you get back? You're in Texas now, so there's a slight delay on our line. That's the reason why, for those who are hearing it. You're still in Texas. You spend with your American wife as much time in the off-season in Texas as you can with your kids. But when you come back, is there a restaurant? Is there a Fox Footy cooking show on a Wednesday night coming for you?
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the spin-off might be. I mean, I am locked in to cook dinner at home for the rest of my life. That was one condition of going on the show, and now that I've won, that the kids are pretty excited that you know, their meals at home might step up a notch. That's not a dig at my wife by any stretch. I'm not sure. One thing I am looking forward to is when we actually roll around to finals time, Dwayne, when we're at Fox Footy, and you know, you get to grand final week and you walk through the doors and you see Dermot Brereton and Jason Dunstall, you know, Jonathan Brown, three-time grand final winners, that now I can actually say I've won a grand final.
And you performed in the grand final. Look, I get taken to a lot of great restaurants by my son, who went to Society last week and had that exact dessert. So he was able to talk me through. I mean, he's a big foodie. Yeah. So, you know, we go to a lot of the great restaurants. And Society, you know, it's one of those restaurants, if you haven't got a, you know, a reasonable amount to spend, you're probably not going to go there. But what you get is really bang for your buck. So this dessert that you had to cook was something, you know, ridiculously extreme.
It was unbelievable. I mean, you've been fortunate enough to go to the restaurant and try it. I pity the poor people out the back that actually have to cook it and prepare it, because we were given 4 hours to prepare this dessert, and it was only just enough time, only just. And I brought this over with me, and I know we're on radio, so people can't see it, but I'll show you, because we're on Zoom. I actually kept the step-by-step recipe that they gave us. It is 9 pages long. It is a 75-step recipe where we were measuring ingredients down to the half gram. That's how specific this dessert was. It was almost more a piece of art or a science experiment than it was an actual dessert. So for us even to be able to put something on the plate at the end of the challenge, I'll speak of myself, Tilly Ramsey and Colette Dinigan, I think was an absolutely incredible achievement, because if you haven't seen the dessert, I mean, it is, do yourself a favour and just Google the Metropolis dessert, because it needs to be seen to be believed, I think.
So you pretty much had it won as well when Colette served it up upside down. So she was out from that moment. That was always going to make it tough for her. You got 10s for yours. Talk me through a couple of the people that you were on the show with, because you really had a love, a camaraderie with a few of them. Well, start with Tilly, if you like. I know that she came round to your house a couple of times during filming. You and your family became quite close with Tilly Ramsey.
Yeah, we did. I mean, Kath and I, we just thought it was incredibly brave, first and foremost, for a 19-year-old girl to travel to the other side of the world where she knows no one, with the reputation of her father preceding her, Gordon Ramsey, and put herself out there like she did, and just an incredibly unaffected, you know, warm, beautiful girl. So, you know, she missed her home. She's got a little 2-year-old brother that she was missing terribly. So we thought, you know, best thing to do would be surround her with, you know, that family sort of atmosphere. So she spent a bit of time at our place. And, she was an absolute dream to go right through the competition with, an incredibly accomplished young woman.
Ian Thorpe?
Thorpey from day one was happy to take the ultra competitive mantle. So that was perfect for me, because Thorpey said from day one, I'm here to win, which was great, because, you know, he could just take all of that competitive attention. For a guy that has stood on the blocks with the greatest, the greatest athletes in the world, stared them down and absolutely smashed them, for someone that had come in with that level of accomplishment and competitiveness, I can't believe what the show did to him and did to all of us, because I was concerned in the first elimination that Thorpey was going to lop off a limb with a knife. His hand was shaking that hard. It was unbelievable. I mean, you know, here's a guy that's handled his nerves at the most extreme moments in the Olympics, yet the MasterChef kitchen almost brought him undone. It was a bit of a sight to behold, but a beautiful guy, and just, you know, so fortunate to have been able to spend time with him, because, you know, we're exactly the same age. I think we're 3 days apart, and I was 18 cheering him on, you know, when he was winning gold medals. So it was a surreal experience.
And you looked like you had a great relationship going. Well, that with everyone. Archie Thompson, talk me through a few of the other competitors, because you did seem to... I mean, there were tears at times when they left, that you could see the disappointment that somebody had to go home. And when they did go home, other people would cry because your time with those people in the kitchen was over.
Yeah, it was not what I expected, Blaine, to be honest. Like, I didn't expect us all to come together as strongly as we did, and it really did. We were together for a little bit over a month, all day, every day. It was really intense, and we bonded over that experience. And I mean, Archie Thompson, there was an emotional connection for me with Archie. Archie, my sister was a massive Melbourne Victory fan. Archie was her favourite player, and Archie sent Maddie a signed Victory top when she was in hospital, and we sort of connected from day one over that. He's just an amazing guy. Rebecca Gibney was phenomenal. She almost became a bit of the mother hen, I guess, of the entire group. She was amazing. Matt Leneves from Offspring was a great. I mean, it was just a great cast, and I think you need a good cast on those sort of things to make the experience what it can be, and we absolutely had that. And people from all different walks of life. So, some were loud, some were quiet, some were complete extroverts. Others were a little bit more reserved. It was a really good mix and a really good balance.
So take us behind the scenes before I let you go. Did you actually have to cook down to the minute? Were they that strict with you? Did they give you much help? Do they come and taste what you're cooking in between time and say, Nick, that's not going to be too good? What are the chefs like to work with? Because they seem like really good people. In fact, the changeover of staff for the MasterChef panel has actually formed a bit of a ratings boost for the show.
Yeah, the judges were incredible. They really were. The first part of your question around the time. So that very first cook where we, we had an hour to cook, something that we were famous for, amongst our friends and family. And I did the crayfish pasta. Well, the big Dr. Seuss clock that hangs over the MasterChef kitchen that seems to operate on, two times real speed because it just flies by. The time ran out, and I hadn't sprinkled my chives on my dish as a garnish, and so I thought, I'll just sprinkle them on. And I had someone come over straight away, say, hey, the clock's run out, you can't touch it, you can't do anything. So it was completely to the minute. It was really full on. So that was a bit of a shock, because I thought, gee, we're not here to become chefs, we're just here to have a good time, let's just everyone lighten up. But no, it was pretty strict on that front, but the judges did coach us and help us through. If they tasted something and they thought it wasn't great, they would let you know. They wouldn't steer you too much, because they wanted to stay true to the integrity of the competition, but ultra supportive. If you wanted to ask questions, they were there as a great sounding board, and we developed great relationships with them as well. We spent all week together Monday to Friday, and then we'd go out for dinner with them on the weekends. And I was fortunate because I was the only one that was really still in Melbourne and able to see my family. Everyone else had either come from interstate or overseas. So we stuck together on the weekends, and that only solidified the bond, judges included.
Was it a 3-week shoot? How long did the shoot go for? 4 weeks?
No, it was about a little over a month in the end. Yeah, if you went right the way through. So it was pretty intense filming. Basically, an episode a day, Monday to Friday, and Monday to Thursday, and then you would record your sort of interviews that they would show sort of in retrospect on the Friday. So. And then obviously in the commentary box with you on a Saturday and a Sunday. So it was a pretty busy month. And I didn't anticipate going right the way through, but it was an absolute bonus, because the longer the competition went on, the more desperate I was to stay in it, simply because I was having so much fun.
Yeah, and on the weekends you'd get into the commentary box and people who are sort of show fans like me would ask you questions all weekend. How about this? What about that? Like I'm asking you now. Final question before I let you go, and I really appreciate you joining me. Maddie's vision, it was close to your heart. So the money, the win for a charity that, well, I mean, it's been something that you have driven and driven brilliantly and driven to the admiration of everybody who's seen you drive it. So how can we fans of the show contribute to Matty's vision now that you've done all this for Matty's vision?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really grateful for all the support of the entire football community across the journey. SEN have got behind us, right throughout our existence, and so I know everyone's done it really tough over the last couple of years. I mean, not-for-profits have sort of become a bit of an afterthought at times over the last couple of years, which is completely understandable. So to be able to inject those funds, those $100,000 from winning MasterChef into Matty's vision is just, it's an enormous result for the organisation. Some very excited people involved in the charity, and for anyone out there that is unaware, mrv.org.au is where you can go and learn about Matty's vision, which is a charity established after my late sister Madeline, who passed away at the age of 26 from a bone marrow failure syndrome. So we've done a lot of work over 6 years. We've made significant strides to be able to improve the outcomes and the treatments for people suffering, and this windfall will supercharge that. So it was a great experience, and nice to be able to raise the profile and know that Matty was looking down on me with a bit of a furrowed brow, thinking, who do you think you are? I know you. You're no MasterChef, but she would have been really proud.
What do you spend your time doing in Texas before I let you go? You been to any college games? I know that you do a couple of things like that when you can.
Yeah, we have, mate. It was unbelievable. I mean, we left Melbourne in the middle of the lockdown. I had to come over for some work, and being able to tie that in with being able to see Kath's family was obviously a bonus. But within 2 days of arriving here, we were at a college stadium with 50,000 people. So the contrast was pretty stark. In the way that both countries are living. A lot of catching up. We've been to some college games. We've been to, I took my boys along actually to the ALCS series, Houston Astros against the Boston Red Sox, which the Astros ended up winning. But we went to, I think it was game two, and the boys had never been to a live baseball game before. So I thought, here's my opportunity. Almost needed to start a GoFundMe page to pay for the tickets. They were that outrageous, but I thought this might be our only opportunity. Well, first innings, the Red Sox hit a grand slam, followed by another grand slam in the second inning. So we're sitting there after two innings. The Astros are down 8-0, and both boys have completely lost interest. So it was the most expensive 45 minutes of my life, but, I think a good experience to be there, the only time a team's hit two grand slams in postseason in Major League Baseball history.
I'll let you go, Nick. Great talking to you. People that want to donate to Matty's vision, that watch the show, that want to get behind it, make sure you do Google it and get online and support Matty's vision. Enjoy Texas, eat a rib or two, and we'll see you when you come back and open your restaurant. Make sure you keep me a seat at your opening night.
You'll get a seat right up the front, mate. No worries about that.
Great to have you. Congratulations again. Nick Riewoldt, MasterChef champion, celebrity MasterChef champion, joining us. Back to your calls and your texts next. Make sure you join me. 1300 736 736, the open line. Brought to us by Werribee Kia.